Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's the first Dis-Chem Medical Monday show, other than the one we did last week for 2026. But it's the first one in our new time slot of 9 a.m. So we're moving the show an hour earlier for you to make this a little bit more easy to access and more convenient. We hope that you love it. Do let us know on our WhatsApp line, 0618951019. What do you think of the new time slot? We have a fantastic guest for you today, Peter Loebscher, Executive Director for the Leprosy Mission South Africa. Very, very important topic. Leprosy is not just a biblical disease. It is around in the modern world, but it appears that for many people, a modern approach is not applied to dealing with people with leprosy. We're going to go to ads now. Let us have your questions for our guest on our studio WhatsApp number, and we're looking forward to this fantastic conversation.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday, the 12th of January. It's just gone 11 minutes past 9. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and you are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM in our new 9 a.m. time slot. I'm chatting with Peter Loebscher, Executive Director of the Leprosy Mission South Africa. We're going to be talking about leprosy and what its effects are on those who carry the disease, and what its effects are, and how society treats these people, and what we can do to help. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you, Nicholas, and what a joy to be with you on this lovely morning. Thank you for inviting me.
We really do appreciate it. I think it's such an important topic. For me, my first exposure to the idea of leprosy was watching the movie Papillon with Steve McQueen when he was in a leprosy colony in French Guiana, having escaped from prison, and he took a cigar. He was given a cigar, and he had to smoke it from the head of the leprosy colony, and he smoked it, and the head of the colony said to him, "How do you know that I'm not contagious?" And Steve McQueen's character, Papillon, said, "I'm not." He said, "I didn't know that you're not contagious." And that was my first exposure sort of to leprosy and the fact that there were colonies and we would basically remove people from society out of fear. Can you tell us a little bit about leprosy and its perception in the modern world? Are we still thinking of it and dealing with it almost as a biblical disease, as a form of punishment?
That's a complicated question to answer in one way, because unfortunately, yes, there are many communities where people who do have leprosy are ostracized and sometimes treated in a very harsh way. However, overall, attitudes to leprosy have changed, and in many places, leprosy patients are treated and managed within the community and don't experience too much stigma. But regrettably, those old ideas about leprosy haven't died out completely, and there are still many instances where people who have leprosy are treated very harshly, either by their families or their communities, maybe at school level, sometimes by their employers. And sadly, and this is the worst part of it, is quite often within the health services, they will go to a clinic somewhere and the health service people there will feel anxious about treating them or afraid of them and may not offer them the help which is available, which is a huge pity, because actually leprosy is a fully curable disease. If it's treated early, it can be completely cured and the person can escape the disease without any lasting disfigurement. And the treatment is free of charge. So there's really shouldn't be any barriers to people receiving treatment. But unfortunately, the stigma and the fear of leprosy hasn't died out completely. And there are still many people who experience very big problems as a result of the misperceptions surrounding leprosy.
I think it was quite a difficult question to start off with, because I think perhaps it's something that I'm a little bit more passionate about. Having experienced bullying in school, I'm very against bullying of any kind, and sort of allowing people to suffer based on a misconception. And I think the work that you're doing is absolutely incredible within
Thank
South
you.
Africa. And I wanted to touch on how did the Leprosy Mission South Africa come about? And if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the role that you do, because it's not just medical. There's so much more behind the work that you do.
Correct. And in fact, if leprosy was just a medical condition, there would be no need for organizations like the Leprosy Mission, because we are quite often geared up to dealing with all of these other issues that come along with leprosy. And I suppose the best way I can describe it is that, many years ago, I was putting on weight. And my doctor said to me, Peter, your problem is you love potatoes and you're eating potatoes. And the trouble with your potatoes is they keep bad company. By that he meant, of course, all the Simpsons and cheeses and everything else I was
Yes,
putting on my baked
okay.
potatoes. And I'm afraid
Oh,
it's
my
the
word.
same way with leprosy. It keeps bad company. It's a disease largely of people who live in poorer communities and often in communities which are far away from mainline health services or clinics and so on. And this applies to Southern Africa and it applies to places like India and Bangladesh and the many other countries where leprosy is prevalent. And it's because of these many factors that play a role in leprosy, and especially the social stigma that comes with it, that getting treatment to people with leprosy is often so difficult because we have to not only break down the barriers of physical access, but often the issues of attitude and so on. I'll give you an example. Leprosy often travels in families, and that's particularly true in Southern Africa. And some years ago, we found found a family in the Eastern Cape where a couple of the members of the family had leprosy. And we started them on treatment and they've been doing well. But towards the end of last year, we discovered another member of that family in a terrible condition. She's now desperately badly affected by leprosy. And we found out that what had happened was when the other family members first developed leprosy, she wasn't at the homestead. She was living and working in another province. And so we didn't see her at the time. She then went on to develop leprosy where she was working in this other province, became disabled and was no longer able to continue working, came back to the Eastern Cape. But by this time, the family, I suppose you could say they were ashamed and they were embarrassed. And there were a lot of issues that rose up that, although they knew where to go for treatment in the Eastern Cape, they were reluctant to initiate everything that needed to be done to get to the treatment facility. And as a result, now this poor lady is in a desperate condition. So those are the sort of issues we try to address, try to convince people, look, don't be embarrassed about leprosy. Don't be ashamed of it. You haven't done anything wrong. You're not being punished. And this isn't a sign that you are a sinner or a bad person. It's a medical condition and we can treat it. But please, let's treat it early rather than later. So the Leprosy Mission came into existence as an offshoot of the Leprosy Mission International. The Leprosy Mission International was established about 100 years ago, started work in India, and was started by a teacher who was working in India at a missionary school. And his work involved him going around the village. And he discovered these people who were sitting outside the village in a desperate situation, very badly disabled. And he asked what the problem was, and he was told, well, these people have Kushta, leprosy, and we don't want anything to do with them, and you shouldn't have anything to do with them. And he said, well, that's not what my Bible says. My Bible says I shouldn't be getting involved with these people. So he left his job as a teacher and started to care for people affected by leprosy in India and started a network of people around India taking an interest in the welfare of people
Peter,
with the disease.
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. We're just going to go to ad break. When we come back, I'd
Right
like
on.
to continue with this because I think the origin story is very, very important. We'll continue chatting with Peter Loebscher, Executive Director of the Leprosy Mission South Africa, as soon as we're back from our ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday, and you are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm chatting with Peter Loebscher, Executive Director for the Leprosy Mission in South Africa. Absolutely vital, vital work that they're doing. Peter, before we went to the ad break, you were telling us the origins of the Leprosy Mission South Africa, how that came about. If we could please continue that story, take us back to India.
Sure. Thank you, Nicholas. So over the years, the Leprosy Mission then developed a number of, I suppose you could sort of say, very basic hospitals in India leading up to the early 1940s. And these were places of refuge for people affected by leprosy who'd been thrown out of their families, thrown out of their places of work and so on. And we provided these places of refuge where people could be cared for and looked after. After World War II, knowledge and understanding of leprosy increased rapidly. Leprosy became a treatable disease. And in addition to that, some very brilliant surgeons worked out ways to operate on people affected by leprosy to restore some of the function to their hands and their faces and so on. And so the Leprosy Mission started to become a much more medically focused organization, helping to roll out treatment and so on. We then began working in Southern Africa in the late 1940s, across Southern Africa. And of course, it was quite a different subcontinent at that stage, and really advocating for a new approach to leprosy, particularly moving away from the very strongly institutional approach to leprosy and advocating for people to be treated in their communities. You may know that up to the early 1930s, Robben Island was a place at which people affected by leprosy were treated. And there were several other places around Southern Africa like that. There were two institutions in the Eastern Cape. There was one in north of Durban at Amatikulu, and of course the very famous Westfort Hospital to the west of Pretoria, all providing excellent care. And at that stage, leprosy treatment was often for life, and it meant that people were often admitted to these institutions for life. And so a slow process began to unfold of advocating for people to be treated in their communities, to break down the wrong ideas about leprosy. And slowly over the years, we've now moved to community-based care for people affected by leprosy. There are still a few places in the world where, sadly, leprosy patients are banished and isolated and are unable to receive treatment in the community. Those are very, very few and far between, but it does happen. The bigger problem is often the stigma that people face in day-to-day situations. We had a patient a little while ago in Mpumalanga with very badly damaged hands. And the people who were working with him said to us, yeah, this guy must be a really bad criminal. He must have stolen so much stuff. Look at how he's been punished with these terrible hands. And we had to say to the folk, no, he's, you know, not being punished. He simply can't feel pain in his hands, and that's why he's got all these injuries. And seeing is often believing. So when the community sees the patient recovering and sees the wounds disappearing, they then begin to understand that it's not a punishment and that it is a disease and it can be treated and can be managed.
Sure, I think it's not a punishment. It is in some way a test of our humanity in terms of how we deal and treat people with epilepsy. So rather than judging people for that we view them as being punished, it's more actually of a test on us and how we should be treating people who are just a little different to us in that moment. As you said, it's something that's completely treatable. Within that, what is epilepsy, if we can break it down, and the different types that are affecting people?
Well, leprosy is caused by a bacterium, very similar to the bacterium that causes tuberculosis. And in the case of leprosy, the bacterium normally affects or largely affects the skin and the nerves. And it is the damage to the nervous system which causes 99% of the troubled experience by people with leprosy. What happens is that the disease or the bacillus particularly likes the cooler parts of the body. So where the nerves run close to the surface, that's where they'll be affected by the disease. For example, our funny bone, the ulnar nerve, where it runs over the elbow. And we've all felt that funny bone, and we bang our elbow on the table and we feel the little finger and the ring finger a little bit paralyzed, and there's tingling feeling there. Mm. That's exactly what leprosy does. It invades the nerve in the elbow where it's close to the surface, it places pressure on it, and the nerve stops working. And so there's no longer a connection between the ring finger and the little finger and the brain. And that means when the person picks up a cup of tea, they burn themselves, they get a blister, they're not aware of that. That blister then breaks open, it becomes infected. And it's that repeated process of burns, infection, broken blisters, and so on, that leads to the terrible disabilities that we associate with leprosy. Other nerves can be affected, which means that the hand can be partially paralyzed. And it could mean that the whole hand may lose protective sensation across the whole palm and sometimes even the back of the hand. And a similar process can occur with the soles of the feet. And very, very sadly, and this is the worst part, a similar process occurs with the face and particularly with the eyes. So the person can lose the ability to blink and keep the eyes moist, and they can also lose protective sensation in their eyes, which means they get eye injuries and can eventually lose their sight. And this, of course, leads to terrible disabilities. With early treatment, the bacillus can be killed before it does all this damage to the nerves. But even with treatment at a later stage, we can often teach patients how to avoid injuries, how to deal with them when they come along so that they don't become catastrophes. Because if they don't learn to rest the hand or rest the foot, the injury will become worse, the infections will become deeper, and eventually they'll lose the leg or eventually lose the hand altogether. It's a very slow process. I must stress that. You know, people imagine it's something that happens dramatically overnight. It's a very slow process of daily small injuries, which eventually culminate in the very serious disabilities that we associate with leprosy.
So it really comes down to the fact that we're unable, or our ability to feel pain is reduced. Yes. And pain is really there for protection, where you're not scratching your eye open in your sleep or, you know, scratching a wound and not realizing what's going on. So it's not the leprosy in itself, just to clarify, that's causing the harm to the body. It's the fact that it removes our ability to sense that pain and protect ourselves from harm.
Absolutely. You know, we often think of pain as a pest and an enemy, and of course it's not pleasant, but it's a warning to us. And, you know, we're injuring ourselves all the time. You know, without being aware of it, we touch a hot cup when it's too hot to be touched, and we immediately pull our hand away. But without being aware of it, we may have actually got a slight blister or a slight injury there. But life goes on because our body is so sensitized to the pain that without being aware of it, we stop putting pressure on that finger that was burnt or blistered. And the blister or the injury heals, and we don't give it a second thought because the body is so marvelously, it's just so incredible in the way that we deal with pain and deal with these warnings. And without that warning of pain, all you're doing is continuing to use that part of the body that you wouldn't otherwise use. You're putting pressure on it, the wound doesn't get a chance to heal, and so it becomes bigger, deeper, and more infected. And yep, so that's in a nutshell what leprosy does.
I think just for our listeners, some of the early signs for them to look out for, and also just to tell our listeners, message us on 061-895-1019. That's the studio WhatsApp number. We're chatting with Peter Lobsher, Executive Director of the Leprosy Mission South Africa. What are some of the early warning signs, Peter, that people should be looking for?
Leprosy is split into two broad categories, depending on people's immunity to leprosy. And the first thing I want to stress is that fortunately, most of us have got zero chance of contracting leprosy. Our immune systems are very powerful. And even if we spend time with an untreated leprosy patient, there's no possibility of us developing leprosy at all, because our immune systems will fight off the bacillus and nothing will happen. It's only a very small group of people who are susceptible, and normally within families where there is already a person or people with leprosy. So we're very concerned about family clusters. So just to stress that first of all, it's a very difficult disease to contract. But within the group of people that do go on to develop leprosy, on the one hand, you have people with a good immune response to the disease, and they will develop maybe just one or two pale patches on their skin. If they've got a darker pigmentation, the patches will be slightly pale in color. Patches will be slightly dry, and the hair in the patch will be absent or diminished. But the big telltale sign is that there will be diminished sensation in that patch. The sensation will still be there to an extent. It's not completely absent, but it's diminished to the extent that if the person closes their eyes and you touch them gently in the patch with a wisp of cotton wool, for example, they won't feel it. Or if you ask them to point to where they've been touched, they'll point, but they won't point accurately to the patch. They'll point to either side of it. And that's a telltale sign of early leprosy in people who've got good immune response. A patch with diminished sensation, diminished sweating, and diminished hair in the patch. And it's got a fairly well-defined border. But I should stress that there's not a complete loss of pigmentation in the patch. So it's often a fairly subtle change in coloration. In people with lighter complexions, the patch will be a bit reddish in color, or a bit copper colored. At the other end of the spectrum are people who have very little or no resistance to the leprosy bacillus. And so the bacillus spreads freely in their body. And this will mean that often, and because the bacillus likes the cooler parts of the body, some of the first parts of the body to be affected will be the ears, because our ears stick out a little bit, they're a little bit cooler. And so the ears will become very, very swollen and very disfigured by the proliferation of leprosy bacilli in the ears. The nose will be affected. The person will have a very stuffy nose, and eventually the bridge of the nose may collapse. But before that, the person will have a nose that bleeds a lot because it's congested with leprosy bacilli. And the whole face may become very swollen. They may develop what we call nodules on the face. And there will be extensive nodules in other parts of the body, and there'll be extensive involvement of the nerves. So the nerves will become very swollen, and later on the person will go on to develop extensive loss or reduction in sensation on their arms and their lower legs and so on. And then, of course, there are people in the middle who will have a mixture of those signs. So they may have some nodules, they may have some patches, and they may also have some severe nerve involvement. So they may come and for treatment with not patches that are particularly obvious, or even with nodules that are obvious, but you'll see very obvious nerve involvement in the form of paralyzed hands or partially paralyzed hands, partially paralyzed face, and an inability to walk properly. They will have what we call a drop foot, which means that they have to lift their leg awkwardly to lift the front part of their foot when they're walking. And so those people in the middle often suffer greatly because the body's immunity is unstable. and periodically flares up and fights back against the leprosy germ or the leprosy bacillus very vigorously. But unfortunately, when it does that, it's also destroying good tissue in the nerves. And it's the destruction of that good tissue which very rapidly leads to loss of protective sensation in the hands, feet, and the eyes and other parts of the body.
With the work that you do within the communities and within Southern Africa, can you tell us a little bit about the education programs, how you are working to let people understand what leprosy really is and what its effects are and how those affected should be treated?
Sure. We do an enormous amount of work in partnership with the National Department of Health as well as with the provincial departments of health. And so most days you'll find our team members out in rural communities at rural clinics where we give presentations to the nursing sisters, particularly in areas where we know that leprosy is prevalent. We distribute posters and calendars and a whole lot of other educational media about leprosy so that we keep awareness alive. We do also many community presentations. We go to community gatherings and also at clinics where patients are sitting waiting to be seen by the doctors in the morning. We'll go along and we'll talk to the patients who are sitting there, tell them briefly about leprosy. And then we will spend often quite a bit of time with patients and their families themselves. We'll go out to the patient, their family, talk to them about leprosy, explain that there's a risk that other families will get leprosy, but also show them how to care for the person in the family who's got leprosy, explain to them why the person is getting the injuries, explain to them the sort of help that they can give to help prevent those injuries. And generally to allay fears that people have about leprosy. So to spend a lot of time listening to them, give them an opportunity to ask their questions. And so those are the main areas of education that we're engaged in. And yeah, it's a slow process of working through communities day by day. And we've been doing that for many, many years, so since the early 1980s, we've had a very big outreach program trying to raise awareness of the early signs of leprosy.
Peter, we're going to go to an ad break now. When we come back, I want to chat to you about sort of, you know, what communities can do and also perhaps what employers can do. If you have someone working for you who has leprosy and is not able to protect themselves due to the damage to the nervous system, you know, are there workarounds? Is there education that the employers can get to enable the people to continue working? We'll touch on that as soon as we're back from our ad breaks. We're chatting with Peter Lobsher, Executive Director for Leprosy Mission South Africa. Let us have your questions for Peter on the studio WhatsApp number 0618951019. My name is Nicholas Engel and you're listening to the Dischem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening to the Dischem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel. I'm chatting with Peter Lobsher, Executive Director of the Leprosy Mission South Africa. Peter, just before we went to ad break, we were talking about the work that you do in communities, and I'd like to touch on two things. Sort of, you know, education for employers, because as you mentioned, the disease is fought by the nerve, the immune system, and I think if people are losing their jobs, they're losing their ability to support themselves, plus all the stress and pressure that they get from society, this can have a massive impact on health and well-being and immune health, and can compound the effects of the disease, I'm sure. I think in reality, perhaps the disease is not the biggest problem. It's our stigma, the stigma and how we treat people with the disease. I'd like to get your thoughts on what we can do as a society and as community to help And also, is there work being done with employers to enable employers to keep people in the jobs, to enable them to stay safe and stay protected? Just before we do that, I know it's a, we're jumping in with a lot here, Peter. We have a message from Sue Jackson, one of our listeners. She says, good program. Peter, the fact that one man followed his religious convictions to help the lepers is absolutely amazing. And she asks, do lepers feel pain?
That's a complex question. Most of the time, the problem with leprosy is that the patients don't feel pain. But earlier on, I was talking about this group of patients who are in the middle of the two extremes of those who've got good resistance to the disease and those who have very little or no resistance to the disease. There are, unfortunately, these people in the middle. And they often experience episodes of extreme inflammation, during which they will experience a lot of pain. But unfortunately, it's not protective sensation pain. It's the pain that you and I would feel if we got a very, very bad dose of flu, or if we were fevered and so on. So they feel very unwell, their joints ache, and you know, there's a lot of pain. But it unfortunately doesn't indicate the return of protective sensation. So yes, paradoxically, they may experience pain, but not the good pain. In other words, not the pain that's going to protect them from injuries. I must stress also that that condition, that those episodes of extreme inflammation can be treated and can be managed, but we need to get to that very quickly, because if we don't do that, the damage to the peripheral nerves can be severe and be irreversible, and that can be catastrophic for the patient. So very important for that to be treated early. Right. To get back to your question about employers, unfortunately, where most leprosy patients live and where because of the environments where they've grown up, very few have access to formal jobs. So we don't in Southern Africa have a huge program to work with employers in the formal sector, simply because there are not that many patients in formal employment. Occasionally, where they are, sometimes the employers will be very anxious and very worried about having a person affected by leprosy. And if that's the case, I would urge the employer to get in touch with us. We will gladly come and meet with them, talk to them about the situation and allay their fears. And also to say that not every person who gets leprosy will necessarily have diminished protective sensation in their hands, feet, or eyes. Many of them will be able to work without any problems whatsoever. I was recently at a big international conference of leprosy experts, and attending the conference was a large group of people affected by leprosy, current and former patients. And they were with us at this conference, contributing their experiences and so on. And as I was sitting there and I was looking around, I couldn't tell you the difference between people who were there in their capacity as medical specialists and people who were there in their capacity as patients. They'd all been treated early. They'd all made complete and full recoveries from leprosy, and none of them had obvious signs of disabilities or injuries or problems. So I want to stress that although leprosy can be this devastating disease, normally if it's treated early, people carry on with life and, you know, there's not too much to be worried about. But in situations where the person has lost protective sensation and they are engaged in manual work, which is often the case, because often people with leprosy come from communities where there are fewer education opportunities, so they tend to gravitate more towards manual work. Obviously, the risks of injury increase. And we've got a lot of solutions there, depending on the where the person works, what they're doing, and so on. And it's then best that one of us comes and spends some time with the worker, with the employer, and we look at the situation and we find a solution together. That's really the best way. You know, let's come there, let's talk to each other and work through it, allay the fears that might be there, and you know, we can find a solution together. It may not, you know, be instantaneous, but 99% of these issues can be resolved. And we found that some employers are wonderfully helpful and cooperative and very keen to look for solutions, and that we're very happy to work with them and come up with a plan. But by and large, leprosy patients are in rural communities and are very dependent on farm work and manual work. And of course, that is a huge problem. You know, I remember a client of mine many years ago, he would perpetually come with terrible injuries to the soles of his feet. And I pleaded with him and I would say, you know, please, we need to admit you. We've got to have a chance to give you bed rest and help us clean out your feet and give your feet a chance to heal. And he said, well, you know, I've got cattle at home, and who's going to look after my cattle? My cattle will be stolen. And, you know, that's often the dilemma that people affected by leprosy face is, well, if I take off time to take time off to rest and recover, who's going to run the farm? Who's going to look after the cattle? And that's where we need to try and involve the family and say, can you help? Can you look after this person's interests for a few weeks while we try to get them their feet sorted out or their hands sorted out? And sometimes that's a very difficult thing to sort out, but that's the sort of work that we do.
Right. And I think it's so powerful because it's changing of, you know, it's affording people the opportunity to support one another within their communities and make a very, very real difference. The story that you shared, just the opportunity to let the patient go to hospital to rest, to recover and heal while someone else can look after their cattle and keep their livelihood safe and their family safe, in essence, can be absolutely life-changing. And I think, what else can we do, perhaps in the cities as society, to help? What can we learn? And what can we learn from your mission? And then what can we do? And I'd like to touch on that question just as we start to wrap up the show. We're going to go to ads now, Peter, and then I'd just love your thoughts for what we can do as we wrap up the show. Let's go to ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. I've been chatting with Peter Loebscher, Executive Director for the Leprosy Mission in South Africa. Peter, this has been such an educational and informative conversation for me, and that's on top of the research I did for our chat, and I'm very grateful for everything that you shared and for the work that you do. As we wrap up, what advice can you give us as society in terms of dealing and understanding leprosy, dealing with people perhaps with leprosy or even not? What can we do?
Well, I think one of the things that we've learned over the years is that people with leprosy are shunned and isolated largely because, or exclusively because, of misunderstanding. And I think in society, people get shunned and sidelined for all sorts of reasons. And they very seldom have an opportunity to put their story and, or, you know, make their case or engage with people, because they get put in a box and they get labeled and people treat them according to that label. And I think one of the things that we can do in society is, whatever the condition is, whether it's a physical condition or some other condition that's caused that person to be labeled in a way, is simply to give them the gift of our time. You know, it's a very precious gift that we can give people, is to give them the gift of our time, to listen to them, hear their stories. We don't have to have, you know, I think sometimes we're worried because we think we don't have answers and we don't have solutions. The person speaking to you doesn't necessarily expect you to have an answer or solution, but they would love to be able to tell their story and be heard as a person. And we often find that with people with leprosy. You know, I just have this lovely story maybe to close with. We had a patient in Mpumalanga a while back, and he insisted on having a photograph taken with my team member there. And we said, what are you going to do with this picture? And he said, I'm sending it back to my family. And he said, the story I'm telling my family is, look, here is somebody who finally stopped to care about me. I tell you, I was bawling. You know, I was bawling like like a little puppy. You know, I was crying because in all the years that this person has had leprosy, nobody has taken the time to listen to him or care about him or touch him. He wasn't even particularly bothered that my team member was providing him with treatment and doing a marvelous job with his hands and feet, which they were. I mean, and there was a massive turnaround there. That actually wasn't the big issue for him. He was simply stunned that someone had taken time out of their lives to make him important. He was absolutely bowled over by that. The other stuff was almost like a bonus. And so I think there are a lot of people out there, they don't necessarily have leprosy, but there are other issues on the go. Let's give them that precious gift of our time and our listening and our compassion. I think we can do so much. We don't have to be experts. We don't have to be doctors or psychologists or theologians or anything. But if we give them the gift of our time, we can have an impact that we can only begin to dream of what that can mean to that person.
That is such an incredible message to carry into 2026, Peter. Thank you. It's not just about looking at someone, it's about seeing them. It's not just about, you know, hearing them, it's about listening to them and just affording them the opportunity to be seen as a human being like the rest of us with their own unique challenges. And really, thank you for that wonderful message, Peter Lobsher. Thank you for your time. And above all, thank you for the work that you and your team doing. We really appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle. Thank you for joining us, and I'll chat with you next week.